Jude. Again, we've been there, for a few weeks. It's not directly a follow-up of the church of Smyrna, but it is one that we looked at because of the churches and the fact that they need to be doctrinally pure. Let's start at verse 1, since it's been a few weeks since we've been here. Jude, verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, we are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong to the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars, from the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came and with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage." Let's pray. Well, we know that the things that Jude speaks of is not a big concern by many believers, and certainly not by religionists in this world. That it would actually matter what doctrine a person believed. That it would actually be serious to counter false doctrine. And yet Jude is very insistent and detailed and explicit that we should do that very thing. And so remain doctrinally pure. We're not to lose our first love. We've learned that in Ephesus. They left their first love, although they had an attack upon all those who had false doctrine and hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans that you also hated. But Lord, we are to have that and not lose our first love. And even as this morning we looked at Smyrna and their suffering, Lord, they held true to you and were faithful in the things of God, to the doctrine and to their devotion and their profession. And Lord, may we be in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. You probably heard this, but the earth is about at its end. Let me read you this. This writer, George Perkins Marsh, warns us that the earth is fast becoming an unfit home for its noblest inhabitant, and that unless men change their ways, it will be reduced to such a condition of impoverished productiveness, of shattered surface, of climatic excess, as to threaten the deprivation, barbarism, and perhaps even extinction of the species. That was written in 1864. Now, that is a doctrine. Now, we think of doctrine, such as Jude is speaking about, as a religious thing. It is not just that. A doctrine is a truth that is put forth that is of such importance that we're supposed to do with it whatever it says. It's too crucial. And the environment's always been a place of devotion for people who are basically in love with Mother Earth. And so we have this tipping point prophecy that's going forth. 2001, Time Magazine, A Global Warming Treaty's Last Chance. 2001, Montreal, 2005, climate campaigner Mark Linus warned, with time running out for the global climate, your meeting in Montreal represents the last chance for action. Bali, 2007. World leaders will converge on Bali today for the start of negotiations, which experts say could be the last chance to save the earth from catastrophic climate change. Poznan, Poland, 2008. Australian environmental scientist Tim Flannery warned, this round of negotiations is likely to be one last chance as a species to deal with the problem. Now, we've all had math. 2008 is 10 years ago. That was the last chance. Copenhagen, 2009, the last chance. Cancun, 2010, the last chance. Durban, 2011, the last chance. And 1864, the last chance. Now, that would be silly if not for the fact that that doctrine is driving world action today. And you know, if you read the news or hear the news, that it is estimated that already it is that trillions of dollars have been spent on that belief, that unless we do something right now, we're doomed. Al Gore said it 12 years ago. We had 10 years left. And that is a seriousness. And you can't even talk to the people about this much. I mentioned this in when I was preaching at the conference up at Doc's church. He's not there now, of course. And I mentioned this is an example of, you know, people getting all bent out of shape about something that's not true. And I told them it was, if they didn't like it, that what they should do is go to the pastor and ask them to speak. And they can say whatever they want to. But really, you get this all the time. The world is very bent out of shape about the world, about human things. But did you see what Jude said was coming? Now, we've gone through verse 11 before. Verse 12 is where we pick up. Now, the men he's speaking of, the woe to them people, these men in verse 10 who revile the things which they do not understand. These are apostates. An apostate is someone who on the outward side appeared to be at one time a Christian, a teacher, someone who was speaking and teaching the truth. And they may have been doing that. And then they apostatized. They then go against the truth. But they don't paint themselves a different color when they do that. They don't act more evil. They don't put horns on their heads. They act righteous. We see that. Verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. They sneak in. A spy for a foreign country doesn't announce that he's a spy. He is a spy secretly. He creeps in unnoticed. And in many cases in the church in America today, there are people like this in there. And a lot of there are also many churches where there are people like this in the pulpit. They're preaching falsehood. Not every Sunday. They might get on a real streak and go two or three Sundays without doing something terribly harmful to twisting the scriptures, but then they get right back to it at some point. And the Christians are supposed to be aware of this. And what Jude does is he unmasks them for what they are. It is in no way politically correct to do this. But he is, as you see, very explicit in his condemnation of these men and the damage that they cause. Because a lot of people say it just does not matter what you believe. It's not something to get bent out of shape about. We get bent out of shape out of global warming. Oh, well, we got to do something about that. We got like 10 years. Every time they say, really, it's 10 years. You got 10 years. Until the 10 years pass so many times that they say, well, it's soon. They're very upset about it. But not about the Lord. And they don't mind these things happening. It's like there is something dangerous every time we start our car, something dangerous every time we start a fire. But about this, there's nothing to be concerned about. Verse 12. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. A love feast is what we would consider. We get together like on homecoming. We had a meal here among Christians. I mean, everybody's a Christian there. But these men pretend to be Christians. And they, by that, they kind of weave in there and have something, some place where they can talk to. And they might talk about these falsehoods. And so Jude calls them hidden reefs. I'm not a sailor. But I do know a little bit about the mechanics of water and boats, and that there's things under the water. And I'm of the mindset, basically, that on top of the water, things are fine. But underneath the water, the creature from the Black Lagoon is down there. Because it's the unknown world. And so there are in the ocean reefs that are just below the surface, but it looks okay. Looks okay, you're going along, and then you hit that, and the bottom of the boat's penetrated, and it sinks. Well, how unimportant then was the reef? Well, if we can't see it, nothing to be worried about. Well, that's why Jude is sounding the alarm. Your smoke detector is supposed to sound the alarm before you are injured by the smoke or the fire. So he is sounding the alarm before they take it in. It's a very short step for many churches to move from doctrinal purity to doctrinal error in just a little bit. Churches did it. Many churches did it back in the debate between inerrancy and errancy in scriptures. Many Baptist churches said the Bible had errors in it. As I've told you here before, first class my daughter went to at Anderson University, the very first, one of the first classes at least, in the very first year, they were already teaching that there were errors in the Bible. It doesn't take long. And that is considered to be modern and progressive doctrine. That this is something we know, we just have to face it and deal with it. That's an error. And yet, it is rampant. So these men are, they're dangerous just below the surface. Also, he calls them clouds without water, carried along by winds. Here we are, we're in the cold weather now, but in the summertime, it's a typical day in Orangeburg, 125 degrees. Oh, he said, I can't walk outside. The ground is parched. I'm afraid to drive on the roads. My tires will melt. What do we need? We need a good rainstorm. So it thunders. We hear thunder coming. We see a cloud. We see a dark cloud. And there it goes. And there it goes. And there it goes. And not one drop of rain. It's teasing us. And Jude says, that's what these guys are, clouds without water. They look like they're going to deliver the refreshing rain, but all they're doing is being blown about by the wind. Being blown about by the wind means that these people will change with the times. The Word of God has not changed. The truth of the Word of God has not changed. We've gone through Old Covenant, New Covenant. There are differences, one fulfilled the other. But the truth of the doctrine of God has not changed. Salvation by grace is still the same. The nature of the Bible is still the same. Virgin birth of Christ is still the same. No matter what we learn today in modern times, the truth of God is not affected by that. If scientists dig up a bone somewhere and say that it's 350 million years old, that doesn't change anything, the truth of God. It's just the way that scientists see things. All the proofs of evolution don't change one thing about God created the heavens and the earth. But those who are not committed to truth will change. They'll be carried about by the winds. Heard a guy one time, I think he was on the radio, like on James Dobson or something, talking about various aspects of where we are born and how the family is helped with a Christian education and learning about Christ. The same guy later on was on Oprah, and he said it didn't matter what religion you use, you're benefited if you have a religion at all. That's being blown by the wind. And so if you're on Oprah, you'll talk about things that Oprah, who's probably a New Ager, would accept. Well, on James Dobson, you're talking about Christian things. You just change. You're a chameleon. You change with the times. And that's what these guys did. You couldn't depend upon them. The thing that was said to the church in Smyrna was, be faithful unto death. Well, these guys who are in positions of influence, influencing people, well, they're not faithful even unto Oprah. They're already bending over backwards for Oprah. So they're not dependable, they're not faithful. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Imagine your church is looking for a new pastor, and you come in and here somebody describes him as, you know, he's like an autumn tree without fruit, doubly dead and uprooted. Well, let's get him in here. He is, at the time of bearing fruit, he is not going to. And he is, you know, an empty well, a dry well. Verse 13, wild waves of the sea. One day, my daughter, she might not think this is going to happen, but my daughter, one day, is going to inform us being her mother and I, that she's met a man. She says no, but it's very likely to happen. So she's going to come, and she's going to want to put the best spin on him as she can. And she says, let me tell you about him. He's a wild wave of the sea. Casting up his shame like foam. And we go, we have got to meet this guy. That means, you know, the waves of the sea, wild waves of the sea, means they're uncontrolled. They're out. They're not helpful. They're violent. And when they crash into the shore, the foam is thrown up. And Jude says that's their shame. When they do what they do, they cast up their own shame. When you know what their teaching is, they show that they're shameful by what they say. Planned Parenthood put out a video advertisement. Cindy showed it to me. Of a baby. A baby. Planned Parenthood, the abortion industry is Planned Parenthood. They don't do anything but kill babies. They say they do other things, but their prime thing is kill babies. They put out an ad for themselves, for Planned Parenthood, of a baby. And then said at the end of it, doesn't this baby deserve to make a choice? Meaning to kill that baby. And they think that's okay. But when they say what they believe, when they say what where they stand, they show their shame. These men are that way. You get to know them. And they're wild waves of the sea. Wandering stars. We all know that stars move across the sky every night. You did know that, right? So if they start over here, they end up over here. And because the world is spinning. And a wandering star probably would refer to something like a comet. Asteroid, something like that. Means you can't be guided by them. You know, ships would look at the stars and see how they go. Their GPSs didn't work back then because the batteries were dead and there was no electricity to charge them up. So they had to use a star. So they look at the North Star. You know, you look at the North Star, let's see, out there, and you're guided by that because the North Star would stay pretty much in the same place because it was up above the North Pole. So you go that way, so you know you're going north. Well, if you try to navigate with these guys, they keep moving. I thought we were going. Yeah, that. Wait a minute. And so you can't be guided by them because they keep moving. Unlike a star that you can be guided by, like the North Star. for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Being in space, the black darkness is, that's where they are, and that's their end. When an apostate apostatizes, he shows that he's not one of God's children. That is one thing that we saw when we're dealing with the church in Smyrna. When you deal with the church in Smyrna, we have a situation there where they could easily apostatize, because that would take the pressure off of them. The reason they're being pressured is because they are not conforming to the society they live in. They're not worshiping the emperor. They're not following those festivals. They're not worshiping those false gods. So they can just be under the pressure of the government. Now, often what happened when these Christians were brought to account before the magistrates, and we see this if you study the times of the Inquisition, the Catholic Inquisition, is that what they really wanted was for the Christian to recant their belief. They believe in salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. You got to recant from that. They believe that the Catholic councils are not the Word of God, or the Pope is not the vicar of Christ. You got to recant from that. If you recant from that, they say, we'll leave you alone. Just we'll leave you alone. Matthew 10, verse 32 says this: therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. That's what the church in Smyrna faced. Give in and get off from the pressure. But if you deny Christ, he says, well, I'll deny you. That's the test. The test doesn't make you a Christian. The test proves you a Christian. And if they would deny Christ, well, the Inquisition guys would be happy. That's what the devil wants. The devil just wants you to go back to him. And if you don't, well, then you might be martyred. Well, you see, that's what they did. They would move in that direction. They would not hold to Christ. And they just revealed that when they apostatized. Verse 14, back to Jude. It was about these men, also about these men, that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord God, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. By the way, that's apocryphal. The apocryphal and apocrypha is not biblical. The reason it's accurate here is because the Holy Spirit has taken some book that's called the Book of Enoch and pulled something out that's actually true. And we have it here in Jude. So that what is written in that book is scripture, because the Holy Spirit now has pointed to it as being true. So he points out here that Enoch, seventh generation from Adam, you know, who did not die, prophesied saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way. Are you picking up a word through there that is similar? And of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Ungodly. That the Lord is coming to judge. Now, we're told with the global warming thing that the earth is going to judge us. The earth is mad. The earth is upset with us. We have gone too far. You know how long we've got now? 10 years. And in 10 years, buddy, you better believe it, in 10 years, the world is saying, don't make me count to 10. I'm going to count to 10, one per year, and when I get to 10, smash-o. All the ocean waters are going to rise. We in Orangeburg are going to finally be on oceanfront property. David can tell it's got to raise like, what, 100 feet or so, David? And we're up here, we're right here and lapping in my backyard. I'm going to, where you go? I'm going to go sit on the beach a while. And because the thinking is that it's the world's going to get us. And there's so much to say about that. There is that judgment that is coming. But notice what the world does. The world says the earth is going to judge us. The Bible says God is going to judge us. Not because of violating something with the environment, either, but because of ungodliness. And you know, would you believe this? That a lot of people who believe in global warming are ungodly. They have no Christian religion. They have no faith in God. They have no belief in the Bible. Are they worried about that? Not one whit. But we're told here that there is judgment coming because of all these ungodly things. All the ungodly deeds will be met in judgment. The Lord is coming with many thousands of his holy ones. It could be angels or saints. Often angels are the ones who come in judgment. But one day, this is the thing that has been unplanned for. We've been planning for global catastrophe well before 1864. But that hasn't come. How many are planning for the catastrophe of having Jesus Christ come with his holy ones in judgment of ungodly deeds and ungodly ways and ungodly sin? Verse 16, finally, these are grumblers. We've seen that in Exodus of the children of Israel, finding fault. They're fault finders. They pick out. I mean, it's hard to get a better example than the climate people. They find fault. You know what they find fault with? Carbon dioxide. You know where we get that? We breathe. There it went. And the trees take that and make oxygen. It's a good thing. Carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. It's a good thing. They've made breathing a sin. And many, many other things. Straws are the latest sinful thing. People get locked up in California for serving straws, plastic straws, in a restaurant. And yet you can kill as many babies as you want to in the womb. It's completely out of whack. But they find fault. They grumble. We're not doing enough. Following after their own lusts. See, they don't follow the Lord. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. And when you unmask these people, well, then you can avoid them. When you realize that there are mice in that field, well, you can avoid it. And so that's part of what we do. We, as Jude says thus far in this book, that you recognize these people and that you yourself hold to the truth. Contend for the faith. Don't give up a bit of it. Don't let up a bit of it. Every bit of truth in the Bible. Now, there's stuff that we don't know about. You can be loose with that if you want. But everything in the Bible, don't give up one bit of it. Don't let loose one little grain of salt of it. because it will turn into something more. And this is what Jude is saying. Watch out and you keep the truth. And by the way, the only people that are given charge of the truth that are going to hold it are Christians. The world will forsake it. These false teachers will throw it away when it's convenient. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. So we have to stay strong in the truth. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss?